This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us, Paul Scanlon. Now, Paul has been empowering growing people for over 30 years. His signature communication masterclass is coming to Sydney in October. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well.
Yeah.
You have become a just superhuman when it comes to leadership, particularly in church circles, but also beyond that as well. And one of the things that your seminar talks about is sharing your life message. Now, how do you actually work out what your life message is?
Well, the way I tracked mine, and I think the simplest way to say it to people is find out, start from what makes you tick, what upsets you, what frustrates you, what excites you, because amongst those things should be a common thread of something that you can identify that it's to do with one particular area or two. That's the way I think is the best way to say to people to figure out their passion, their life message, or their why. Start with what it is that irritates, frustrates, because that's normally the most accessible thing to access it by. If you sit down and think, what is my life message? It's too big a thing to start from. So start from internally, I think, what consistently bothers you. Why do you get frustrated or angry or upset when nobody else in the room that saw the same thing or heard the same thing felt the same as you? Why did you feel something distinctly different to others? That could be a clue to the way you're wired and to something to do with your primary call, destiny, and gift and calling while you're on the planet. I would say to people, enter it that way and track that down is the best way to figure it out.
So at the moment when we unlock that, we're still faced with the grim reality that the thing that people are single biggest fear of is public speaking followed by death. I mean, what are some of the main pitfalls that you've seen in communication?
Well, I think everybody, you know, I speak about nerves, of course, in the masterclass, and everybody struggles with nerves. And I don't think you ever not do that. I don't think the whole internal upheaval, I mean, some people get so sick they feel nauseous. I think that should weaken the longer you do what you do. I think you have to manage that internal turmoil. And I think my message about that is that just because you feel nervous, even so nervous you want to throw up, does not mean you shouldn't be doing it. If you can press through that and get to a place where you, I once was asked about, do you get nervous when you speak? And the guy next to me said that he did still, and he speaks to thousands of people weekly. He said, I used to get really bad butterflies. He said, the only difference is now, 20 plus years on, is that I get the butterflies to fly in formation.
And I guess it's that thing of feel the fear and do it anyway. You just get better at being brave.
I think the formation thing is as good as it gets. I think he's saying this is not about removal of nerves, it's about management. And I think that is the takeaway of the masterclass. Don't think nerves are telling you you shouldn't be doing. There's lots of people that are way above the level that they are and we are in terms of performance. You know, movie stars and performers and singers get nervous still. They tell us before they do something important. So I think it's just managing it, yeah.
But at what stage are you meant to think about the entire audience in their underpants?
People say that. It never worked for me. I don't think that worked for me because sometimes that is not a very pleasant image, depending on who the audience is.
You just walk up on stage with a pillow in front of your face. It's not going to really help
so
much.
I'm not sure that helps, that reverse psychology. So I've never done that, so I don't recommend that. But hey, whatever works.
And one of the hallmarks of your ministry has been to draw out the potential in people. What is the first step for us to be able to do that, both for ourselves drawing out our own and that of other people?
I think you have to believe in yourself, which is a crisis all around the world. People do not believe in themselves. And so my job as a leader, of course, in building the local church for 30 years, but it would have been the same if I was building any organization, would have been to create a culture which empowers and believes and frees people to be who they are supposed to be, to liberate their strength, to not be threatened by people that are different to us, to give room for people to flourish. And of course, I speak a lot in different seminars that I do about the education system that is killing our children, certainly in the Western world, and does not assist their flourishing. So I'm a big believer in championing potential, in believing in people. And I think it starts with our kids. And I don't think overdoing it is the answer. And there's a lot of overpraising of kids that goes on. I'm not a subscriber to that. But I think a healthy environment that encourages kids and people and adults to go for it, to tap into their potential. And if you're a leader, then you have the opportunity not just to say that to somebody as a one-off occasionally. You get to culturally manufacture, culturally engineer a setting in which people can thrive and flourish. And certainly as a parent, I did that in my family. As a leader, I've done it in the organization, in my case, of the church. I think that's all we can do, is to believe in people, empower them, create a culture that permits them to get out what's in them.
Paul, I know that when I moved from Australia to Phoenix, that there was a couple of cultural barriers that I had to get over. But I would imagine for you, you're a global leader communicating in a global context. Is there a common thread that allows you to transcend cultural boundaries?
Yeah, I think you just need to speak human.
Is that easy?
I think if you're fluent in human, which you only get by immersing yourself into humanity and keeping it real and being authentic, I think if you immerse yourself constantly daily in humanity and all that humanity are dealing with as best you can, as authentic as you can, I think that keeps you relevant and keeps you attuned to the cold face of life for people. And so I think around the world, that is the common thread that I carry with me, that people generally are the same everywhere. Everybody struggles with various things in life. Everybody understands the language of pain and aloneness and success and failure and mistakes and setback and insecurity. I think if you are fluent in all these languages that are common to all nationalities, then you have a lot of common ground that's a good starting point to speak about anything to people. I think once you start to lose touch with that, and that's why I don't think the church is an ideal setting from which to speak to humanity. I think much of the church has become its own detached bubble from the real world, and many church voices can't cross over into mainstream life because much of the church is an escape from humanity.
And that word you mentioned, authenticity, that is so often a struggle for not just people on platform, but anyone in whatever the walk of life is. How have you maintained authenticity in your sphere that you're able to influence?
I think authenticity to me means just being genuine and not being fake about anything that you are speaking about or doing. And I think the holy grail of communication is what I would call connection, when there's this invisible dialogue taking place in the room, when people are leaning in and listening to the person that's speaking, and there's this thing called connection that's hard sometimes to quantify, but you know when you have it. And the way to consistently get that, rather than it be a random thing you wish would come back again, is that you be the same person in whatever room you are in, and you cannot have connection without authenticity. So for connection to be the prize, you have to pay the price of authenticity to achieve connection. And a lot of people, and especially our politicians, as we all know, which is why Donald Trump has been so popular, Donald Trump is authentic. Whatever you say about him, you never wonder what he meant. Most politicians don't say what they really felt until they've retired and feel safe and they're not running for elections anymore. And I think that's what I mean about just being you in whatever setting you are in, and not trying to be guarded or trying to fit in with the popular opinion or keep people happy. And of course, as a pastor of a church, I went through that for years, because there's no place like the church for not feeling free to speak your mind in case the church mafia jump on you.
Very much so, Paul. Look, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I can't wait to hear more when you come out to Sydney in October. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Looking forward to it. Thanks. Have a good day, you guys.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.